Our scripture reading for today comes from Paul's second letter to the church at Corinth, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 15. What I mean is this: the one who sows a small number of seeds will also reap a small crop, and the one who sows a generous amount of seeds will also reap a generous crop. Everyone should give whatever they have decided in their heart. They shouldn't give with hesitation or because of pressure. God loves a cheerful giver. God has the power to provide you with more than enough of every kind of grace. That way you will have everything you need always and in everything to provide more than enough for every kind of good work. As it is written, "He scattered everywhere. He gave to the needy. His righteousness remains forever." The one who supplies seed for planting and bread for eating will supply and multiply your seed and will increase your crop, which is righteousness. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous in every way. Such generosity produces thanksgiving to God through us. Your ministry of this service to God's people isn't only fully meeting their needs, but it is also multiplying in many expressions of thanksgiving to God. They will give honor to God for your obedience to your confession of Christ's gospel. They will do this because this service provides evidence of your obedience and because of your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone. They will also pray for you, and they will care deeply for you because of the outstanding grace that God has given to you. Thank God for his gifts that words can't describe. The word of God for all people. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. God, we thank you for these ancient words of joy in giving that inspire us to joy in giving today, and help us to know how to relate to you and our things as people who follow Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. My name is Pastor Abby, and I'm another one of the pastors here at Strongsville, and I welcome you to Financial Pledge Card Sunday. Now, there's a few tired jokes that go along with this, like, at the end of the service, the preacher said, "Everyone who will increase your giving by 10%, stand up." And then the organist played the Star Spangled Banner. You laughed at that one. You haven't heard it enough yet, I guess. But we have these jokes about churches and preachers and money because of all the mixed messages the church through the years has sent about pledging and giving money. Some of us may have experienced Consecration Sunday in the past as guilt that I can't give more Sunday, or shame that I don't give as much as other people Sunday, or the church never has enough money Sunday, or am I giving enough to get into heaven Sunday? In our efforts to avoid all of those messages, we might avoid all mentions of money at all, as if the Bible has nothing to say on the subject. And that doesn't actually help us either, because it doesn't help us figure out how to relate to money, things, and status as followers of Jesus. So today, as we're preparing to make our financial pledges for next year, we are going to proceed as if the Bible does have something to say about financial giving that leads not to guilt and shame, but to love and gratitude. Sound good? Yeah. So the Apostle Paul wrote more books of the Bible than anyone else, but at the time, remarkably, he didn't know he was writing scripture. He was writing letters in his head. What he was thinking is to brand new churches, helping them with specific practical or theological answers to the question, what changed because of the resurrection? 2 Corinthians has parts of a few letters about a collection for the Christians in Jerusalem. Sadly, oppression because of religious differences is nothing new in the Holy Land, and we continue to lament the violence and death that is occurring there and pray for peace. Long ago, when Paul wrote the section that we looked at today, he was encouraging the church at Corinth to be generous towards God's work at the church in Jerusalem. And there's not a guilt trip to be found. Paul seems sure that giving will make everyone happier, because our human generosity reveals God's generosity towards us. Generosity, it turns out, makes us happy. And generosity increases our faith, which makes us even happier. So our generosity reveals God's generosity. And we see this in verses 8, 9, and 10. God has the power to provide you with more than enough of every kind of grace. That way you will have everything you need, always and in everything, to provide more than enough for every kind of good work. How easy is it to think of our money, our stuff, our achievements as ours? Like many parents, I regularly remind my kids that I go to work so that we have a house and food, as well as the fun things that we want to do. But who gave me the ability to go to work? Who created the trees and the minerals from which my house is made? Who caused the seeds to sprout, the sun to shine, the rain to fall so that the food would grow? Everything I have, everything that I think of as mine, everything that I think I earned, it all comes from God. It is all God's, and it is all a gift to me. Notice that even though Paul starts with physical needs, he treats our spiritual needs as deeper and as of more importance, which is a lot easier to say on a full belly, but if we read all of Paul's adventures, we'll see that he endured a lot for Christ. The one who supplies seed for planting and bread for eating will supply and multiply your seed and will increase your crop, which is righteousness. So the ups and downs of the economy and of our lives have taught many of us just how precarious financial security can be. And yet, in the middle of talking about a literal financial collection, Paul is talking about grace as God's provision for everything you need always, and righteousness as the most important thing we can produce. Now, over time, words change, the associations change, and so for some of us, righteousness takes us to self-righteousness, which takes us to people we don't want to be around. But in this case, righteousness means living according to God's will, having God's will and God's heart be first in our lives. And so when we think of that in this context, it's as if financial generosity rearranges the relationship between us and our stuff and God. And thus, generosity makes us happy. We look at verses 6, 7, and 11 for that. Right after Paul says that our crop is actually righteousness, in verse 11 he says, "You will be made rich in every way, so that you can be generous in every way. Such generosity produces thanksgiving to God through us." In other words, God will give to us so that we can give. Often when we give, we picture other people's happiness increasing because their quality of life is improving or because they are feeling love somehow, such as through Night to Shine. And so often that produces a warm, fuzzy feeling in us too. And we realize God made us so that everyone gets happier when we give. Human beings are made that way. And often that is because we realize that through giving, We are part of something bigger than us, something better than us, something transforming the world through Jesus Christ, as we are bold to say in our mission statement. So those of you who were here last week, help me out. We don't have to support Jesus. We get to. So I was reminded of that in a clergy Facebook discussion group on our personal giving, where one pastor shared that when she introduced her second husband to tithing, which is giving 10% of one's income to God through the church, he did not want to set up online giving, even though that's easier than remembering, because he said he wanted to keep putting his gift in the offering plate because I must be rich if I can give away 10%. So we might be at 10%. We might be at a different place because of our life circumstances and spiritual journeys. But wherever we are, we don't have to give. We get to. And the more we see what God is doing, the more we want to see more of it. And the more we see how our contributions play a role, the more we want to give. As Paul puts it in verse 6, if we only put a little bit in, we only see a little bit happen. If we put a lot in, we get to celebrate a lot happening. And thus, generosity increases our faith. In verses 12 to 15, Paul reminds the Corinthians that giving increases their faith by increasing their reliance on God and getting to see what God can do beyond what they or we today imagine. But giving, he says, is also going to increase the faith of those who receive it. They see that the transformative power of Christ is so strong that it can lead people to joyfully give up their money. This generosity by strangers in another city is the answer to the prayers of the beleaguered Christians in Jerusalem. Our giving is the answer to someone else's prayer. Think of the senior who has to move nearer children for the last years of their life, wondering if they will find a church that is accessible to them. What about the empty nesters looking for a place to invest the time they now have in making the world better? Imagine the prayers of parents who desperately need a community to help them raise their kids with love and faith. And for every lonely, stressed out child wondering if they will ever belong, what if our giving that keeps the lights on in the youth room is the answer to their prayers? Because we get to give, Strongsville United Methodist Church could be the answer to prayer for every one of those people and us and more. Our generosity means that we have a space and ministries of all kinds to welcome all kinds of people. Isn't God good? So, as we prepare our pledge cards, I'd like to review verse 7. It says, everyone should give whatever they have decided in their heart. They shouldn't give with hesitation or because of pressure. God loves a cheerful giver. Let's be honest, God also loves cranky givers. That's true too. But I think that the spirit of that is that, when we give with joy, our joy increases. And so pledging is about making a promise to God. It's about growing in our faith, about supporting the work that Jesus is doing. It's not about feeling bad because we can't give as many raw dollars as someone else, or about feeling superior because we're at the top of that step chart we looked at last week. That's not what it's about. God knows our current life circumstances and isn't comparing us to anybody else. God also knows if our circumstances change, and God will be working on that if our circumstances change. And so our pledge cards can be an expression of our love and our gratitude to God. So, as we prepare to make our pledges, a few words of instruction. We'll be praying silently for a few moments as we fill out our pledge cards, and Carl will be playing some music. If for some reason your bulletin doesn't have a pledge card, or you just didn't get one on the way in, or you need a pen, now's the time to kind of raise your hand and wave at the ushers, and they'll help you out with that. After a few minutes, I will read Psalm 112 as a blessing for us, which is the psalm that Paul quotes in his letter that we read. And we'll invite you to come forward then, as you're feeling led, to dedicate yourself and consecrate your pledge. And you can ask someone else to bring yours forward, or mail it, or otherwise deliver it to the church office later in the week. That's fine, too. And so now we enter into a time of praying for ourselves, for each other, for our church, as we write down what we get to give next year in the great hope of how God will multiply it beyond our imagining. So let us pray as we dedicate ourselves to God. These words of blessing. Praise the Lord. Those who honor the Lord, who adore God's commandments, are truly happy. Their descendants will be strong throughout the land. The offspring of those who do right will be blessed. Their righteousness stands forever. They shine in the dark for others who do right. They are merciful, compassionate, and righteous. Those who lend generously are good people, as are those who conduct their affairs with justice. Yes, these sorts of people will never be shaken. The righteous will be remembered forever. They won't be frightened at bad news. Their hearts are steady, trusting in the Lord. Their hearts are firm. They aren't afraid. In the end, they will witness their enemies' defeat. They give freely to those in need. Their righteousness stands forever. Their strength increases gloriously. The wicked see all this and fume. They grind their teeth but disappear to nothing. What the wicked want to see happen comes to nothing. During this closing hymn, I invite you to come forward as you feel led with your pledge card and with someone else's if they ask you to bring that up. As we put our trust in God, our hope is built in nothing less. So I invite you also to rise in spirit or in body and come forward when you're ready.